Welcome to Freedom to Retire with Jim Cipriotti, powered by Retire Ready Financial Group.
You got to be prepared. If you're not prepared and you have too much risk, you may make some adverse choices. And so you need to have a plan because the downturns are going to happen.
Jim Cipriotti has been helping people in the greater Philadelphia, South New Jersey, and Delaware area reach their retirement goals for over 25 years.
We just want to make sure we're not too aggressive, not too conservative either. We want that nice mix, and that's what I help my clients with every single day.
Now, it's Freedom to Retire.
Inflation, also a factor. It's been a factor for quite a while. And lately, the numbers have been coming in a little hotter than expected. And that might actually delay those interest rate cuts that Wall Street had been predicting to begin, you know, mid-year. Here's former Fed Governor Frederick Mishkin on CNBC.
The bottom line here is that the economy's hit a point where, in fact, it's good news in some sense, but the Fed has to do its job. And in fact, the Fed has always said they would risk a recession in order to get inflation under control. And I think that's the right thing for them to do. They have to be tough. Unfortunately, the progress that was being made has seemed to stall. And sometimes you got to say tough noogies. That's just the way life sometimes is. I don't think this is unusual for the Fed to have to deal with these kind of issues. But I think the bottom line now is they're going to stay the course and they're going to signal they're going to stay the course unless things start to get a lot better.
So what is the course that you've been advising clients to take, and are you still staying with it?
Well, look, Chris, the explosive growth that we've seen in our investment accounts really over the past few months, mm-hmm. since around October, November of last year. I mean, it's been really, really exciting. And it's important, I think, that we all just take a moment to recognize why. Why is the market up so much in these past few months? And most people listening already know this, but a lot of that market surge was because the Fed made some optimistic comments in the fall of 2023 that led the markets to react in such a way, because they believed interest rates would start to decline around the middle of this year, 2024. Mm-hmm. And here we are right in the spring of 2024. And really, there's no signs whatsoever of interest rates actually coming down anytime soon. And, you know, when I think about it, it kind of reminds me. Like when you're at the airport, let's say you're at the Philadelphia airport and the person comes on the microphone and makes the announcement and tells everyone listening that everyone's standing around at the gate, and the announcement comes out that their flight is about to board. Everyone get in line. So everyone hops up out of their seats and starts putting away their candies and their drinks, and they start getting in line. And you know, everyone's just kind of standing there, you know, kind of holding their bags and looking at each other and looking around the room awkwardly. And then, you know, everyone's waiting for the next announcement to come, but sometimes no one makes the announcement. And then people, you know, start to get impatient a little bit and fidgety, and they start kind of, some people go back to their seats again because they're saying, hey, what's going on? No one's making the announcement to board the plane. Then, of course, there's always that certain group of people that remain standing in the line, no matter what, just high hopes that an announcement's going to come back on, mm-hmm. about the plane, you know, about to board. But anyways, what's happened just recently is that the Fed made the announcement that interest rate cuts are likely to be delayed even further, kind of like getting that airplane announcement. And if anyone's looked at their investment account balances over the past couple of weeks in the month of April, you'll notice that you might be down a bit, quite a bit, actually, from where you peaked at the end of March. And look, a lot of this market decline has been, you know, from some people pulling out of the market because they feel like interest rates are not going to be cut anytime soon. And I'm beginning to think that we might not be seeing any interest rate cuts. Probably, wouldn't it be funny if it happens just right around the end of the summer? You know, very convenient for that Biden administration.
Sure.
I mean, how great would it look, you know, if the Fed made the cut in August or September, right before the election? And people really do vote not on policy, but a lot of the administration that they're voting for. A lot of people vote based on how their investments are performing, or at least it's a big, big component for so many Americans, Chris.
You know, if the Fed rates may not even happen this year, which, as you pointed out, with it being an election year, that seems highly improbable. But if they do happen later on in the year, whether it is, you know, August or September, you know, certainly that'd probably be the limit for that. But further along than we thought, what should people be doing right now? Should they be staying the course? Should they be making moves? What's the plan here?
Since the market did have that peak back in the end of March, mm-hmm. and already people are sighing, like, just at the sight of giving back some of their gains in these past couple of weeks. But I like to remind people that, look, we are literally standing at the peak of Mount Everest because the stock market is literally at its all-time highs still. I mean, yes, we might be one or two steps off of the absolute peak, but we're still standing at the peak. And one of the things that we need to be doing at this stage of the game, since the market is so high, is we need to be taking a step back and looking at our own personal financial plan, our retirement plan. And we need to be asking ourselves whether or not our retirement would be negatively impacted if our balances went back down again by like 20%.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Back down to maybe the same levels that they were in October of last year, right before this recent burst of, like, if you gave all of that back, how would that impact your retirement? And if you were to give it all back, you know, go back to your November or October levels, would that in fact delay your retirement? Would you need to work another year or two to make up that money? And how would that make you feel if you did have to postpone your retirement by a couple of years? Would you physically be able to go back to work and do your job and handle all that stress or physical work for another year or 2 years? Don't forget what that entails. I mean, waking up at the crack of dawn for a lot of people, working long hours, putting up with bosses, deadlines, you know, reports, sitting in rush hour traffic to get to work. I mean, look, there's a lot that goes into that work. Because look, if the Fed continues to delay cutting interest rates, a lot of the market buildup that happened over the past few months could be pulled back. Easy come, easy go. And getting back to that airport example, think about how everyone's energy level fizzles so quickly when the flight attendant finally gets on the microphone at the gate and then announces, attention passengers, flight number 1351 heading to blah, 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 the flight will be delayed by several hours. Mm. Think about,
I can hear the groans. Yeah.
I mean, people normally start dispersing and start thinking about different ways to get to their final destination. So the bottom line here is that we need to be prepared, regardless of what direction the Fed takes us, when it comes to how they're going to adjust interest rates. And my thoughts are that if the Fed only ends up cutting interest rates, say a little bit, say they cut them a quarter of a point or whatever, if they only do that once this year, or maybe, just a half of a percent or something like that over the course, you know, two small cuts, then we could very well see the market be giving back some of its recent gains. And for the folks that do have maybe, you know, some decent savings build up, a few hundred thousand bucks or more saved in their retirement accounts, it very well might be in your best interest to begin taking some steps right now and to secure those really nice balances that you've built up recently. And as much as we would all love the market to keep going up and up and up, we also got to be realistic about this. Look, we need to be smart about our money. We need to be proactive. We need to learn what happened to people who are the same age as you, who were retiring in the early 2000s, around 15 years ago. So much of their money got wiped out so rapidly. They thought everything was going to keep going up and up and up. Don't let that same thing happen to you. And this is the money that you're going to need to get you through the rest of your retirement. So we don't want to repeat history all over again. So look, if you're hearing all of this and you're thinking, geez, maybe it does make sense to begin protecting a portion of my retirement savings, I suggest what you do is get in touch with my office. In fact, you can call right now. I'm going to give you a number. Someone from my team is going to take down your name, your phone number, and they will set up a time for you and I to chat later this week. And what I'll do on that call is I'll get to know your situation a little bit better. And I personally can make recommendations on how to maybe better position your retirement savings so that you can have that, you know, just a great opportunity to get these nice balances that you've built up, to get them to last and last and last. So the number to call right now to set up a complimentary consultation with me personally, the number is 610-894-7415. Again, 610-894-7415. And look, it doesn't matter if you're in your 50s, let's say you're several years away from retiring, or maybe you're already in your 60s and looking to retire soon, or even if you're in your 70s, and if you're already retired, I can certainly share ideas and suggestions for really anyone in those ages. Look, since interest rates are still very, very high, mm-hmm. I've been showing my clients ways to invest in instruments that are offering these decent rates of interest. So you don't even have to risk your money in the stock market nowadays to get these decent rates. So there's a lot of exciting things going on, and I can teach you these things at either my Radnor, Pennsylvania office is something we could set up a meeting for, or a Zoom video conference. You don't even have to leave your house or your office for those. And I make myself available evenings, weekends. So even if you have a super busy schedule, look, we can make something work. Again, the number for a complimentary consultation on your retirement savings, the number to call now, 610-894-7415, Chris.
Certainly, we're taking the time, I think. And Jim, you referenced Mount Everest there. And this may be actually a well-known stat, but it is certainly worth repeating. The majority of the fatalities that happen on Mount Everest aren't on the way up. They're actually on the way down. And so as you are coming down the mountain from the working world into retirement, you want to make sure you don't make mistakes that could prove, I don't want to be so dramatic to say fatal to your retirement, but certainly detrimental. Jim and the team at Retire Ready Financial Group, they can help you with that. Schedule a time to speak with them, see what to do now, and then, you know, going forward in the years ahead when it comes to your retirement, take the time, make that call, 610-894-7415. Social Security, of course, going to be a factor in everyone's retirement. That is something that we've all paid into. And a Social Security break-even age is that point of your life at which the dollar value of claiming benefits later surpasses the value that you get of taking it early, which you would have been getting all those years that you waited. Many use this calculation to decide when to actually take Social Security, but there was a CNBC article that warns that you should think twice about break-even ages if you're married. Now, Jim, why would this be? Do you agree? And can you run scenarios for clients so that they can decide when they actually should be claiming?
Oh, geez. Well, Social Security is such a great topic to spend some time on the show today discussing, Chris. I mean, I constantly get barraged with just a variety of different questions for Social Security from all different folks of different ages. And look, let's face it. We all want to get the most out of our Social Security benefits as possible. Mm-hmm. I think we all agree on that. But there's a lot of gray areas when it comes to when is the best time that we should begin collecting? I mean, you can go to Google right now, go to your computer and type in, hey, Google, when is the best time to start collecting? You're going to get something like 19 or like, you know, 20 million different search results. And all of them just about are going to make a different suggestion for you, different age and different reason why and all of that. But look, the bottom line is that none of us know how long we're going to live. None of us can really figure out with certainty, mm-hmm. you know, the best course of action to start collecting Social Security because of that reason. And now look, of course, there's some general rules of thumb, like the one where if you have longevity in your family history, yeah, you should probably try to delay as long as you can because you're likely going to be receiving much, much more out of Social Security if you wait until, you know, a later age. And if you do also happen to live until your late 70s or your 80s or beyond. Another common rule of thumb is to look, just really have your finger on the pulse of your retirement savings. If you do plan on retiring, let's say in your mid 60s, and then delaying your Social Security until you're 70, a lot of people do that nowadays. But that means you're going to be dipping into your own money for that, you know, those few years. And the rule of thumb there is, look, it's kind of obvious. We don't want to be spending down our own investments if they also happen to be losing money in the market.
Not at all.
At the same exact time throughout those same years, just in hopes of delaying Social Security until 70, because it may take many, many, many years to recover that money that you just burned through as it was losing value. And some people are even wondering if Social Security is going to be around in 10 years. And my answer to that is absolutely, I believe it will be around. It was put into place in the early 1900s because people were literally dying in the streets. And we're talking about a lot of elderly folks who had a really difficult time saving money. Thinking about retirement back then, it was, you know, they were in survival mode. And nowadays, I was reading, there's something like 30% of all retirees here in America literally rely only on that's all they have. Mm-hmm. Social Security is their only source of survival. So yeah, maybe they need to make some minor cuts, maybe something like a 10% reduction in benefits in like 10 years from now. These are all things that they're considering. Maybe they need to delay the full retirement age, from 67, which is where it is now. For most people, and maybe bump it back to 69 or 70, but they're certainly not going to eliminate Social Security. It's here to stay, Chris, in one way or another.
You know, we know how quick the government works. We still have, you know, roughly 9 or 10 years before any changes are probably going to take effect, although they're certainly having the conversation right now. So for people that are in that retirement red zone or they're getting close to Social Security, they should certainly factor on it being there. But with spouses, you know, we touched on this very briefly. You know, obviously with your husband and wife, you do things together. But when it comes to Social Security, this is not something where you have to claim at the same time, right?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, let's get back to your original question that you had for me a moment ago about the married couple. So, and I was thinking about when you were asking me that question, there was a couple that I met with not too long ago. They came in from Berwyn, Pennsylvania, right down kind of Lancaster Ave 202. We'll call them Ray and Susie. That's not their real names, but we'll say Ray and Susie. And they were just a pretty short 10 or 15 minute drive from my Radnor, Pennsylvania office. But I ended up meeting with them on a Zoom video conference, even though, because it was difficult for the husband and the wife to both have time off.
Sure.
At the exact same time from work and to come in to see me. So we did the Zoom video conference. It was around 7 o'clock in the evening, which I do make myself available for those times. And, cause they were both home at that time as well. But anyways, this wasn't the typical Zoom meeting. I was expecting it to go one way. It took a different direction. It was actually a little bit of a heartbreaker.
Oh, no.
To hear their story. Yeah. So they started out with sharing with me how they both were on the swim team, back in their high school days. Ray was, he went to Bonner, Archbishop Bonner, and she went to Parendi. Mm-hmm. And that's where they both went to high school. And somehow they crossed paths because of their schedule. They were both swimmers. And somehow they ended up meeting each other. I don't know. I think it was like a friend of a friend that introduced them. And so they ended up dating for a little bit back in high school. But you know, in that age, college sometimes gets in the way, and Susie ended up going to college in Florida. So their romance kind of fizzled there, only because of the distance thing.
Sure. Yeah.
And of course, you know, life took them in different directions. Susie moved down there, Ray stayed up here. And they ended up getting involved with other people. You know, they broke off their relationship. They ended up getting married to other people. Ray ended up having two kids. Susie had a daughter of her own. And to make a long story short, they ended up running back into each other up here in Pennsylvania after their other relationships have kind of fizzled out, because they both got divorced from their partners prior to reconnecting up here in Pennsylvania. And they just spent a very short amount of time, just dating again. And they knew that they were, you know, meant for each other. And they ended up getting married just 3 months after they reconnected. And man, when I tell you could feel the love and the passion that they had for each other, even through the Zoom, you know, the way they looked at each other and giggled and interacted with, I mean, you could tell they were just two peas in a pod. But the story, ended up taking a twist. And Ray shared with me that he was diagnosed with leukemia recently. Mm. And they do believe they caught it early. The doctor expects that he could have some aggressive treatments and possibly get, you know, another 4 or 5 more years was kind of the prognosis on the optimistic side. And one of the reasons they reached out to me is they were not sure if Susie would have a good handle on the finances in the event that Ray were to pass away.
Okay.
And they had questions about, you know, Social Security and when to begin collecting given Ray's situation. And before they reconnected, Ray had been doing just a great job in saving and investing and all that. And even though Ray was retired, he had not yet began collecting his Social Security. He could have, but he was postponing it. And some people listening right now might think, geez, He's not doing too well health-wise. He's nuts for not starting to collect. You know, if his health doesn't hold out, he might not really collect much at all from Social Security. Man, he's nuts. He should start. But actually, this technique is quite common because, you see, you only need to be married for 1 year. So when they reconnected and when they got married, as long as you're married for 1 year, your new spouse can collect a spousal benefit from you. And because Ray and Susie were married for 1 year already, if Ray were to pass away, then Susie would collect his whole entire check, not half of his check, his whole check for the rest of her life as what's called a survivor benefit.
Okay.
And that's exactly what their plan was to do, because Susie's Social Security check was so much smaller than Ray's because of what she was doing in Florida and all that. So if she started collecting as soon as possible, Susie would only collect, you know, the smaller amount, you know, from Ray compared to what his check would amount to, you know, if he continued to delay and delay. So, and if Susie did end up living until her late 70s or 80s or beyond, because she did have longevity in her family history, then as a family, when you add up all the checks that she would have collected, Ray's large check, they would have likely ended up collecting way, way more from the Social Security system over time, even if he passed away, you know, in a shorter period. So you can see that there's so many different techniques out there when it comes to when it's best to begin collecting Social Security. So look, if you have questions about your own Social Security, or if you'd like a second opinion, maybe about the strategy you're considering, then I would be more than happy to share my thoughts with you. And I always do this complimentary for our fellow 1210 WPHT listeners. So give my office a call now. Someone from my team, they're going to take down your name and number, and they'll set up a time for us to chat later this week. And the number to call right now is 610-894-7415. Again, 610-894-7415. Because look, these decisions of when to begin collecting Social Security, they're important decisions. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure we're getting it right. Not for just what's best for the short term either. We want to look at what's likely to bring your household the most Social Security over the long term as well. And a lot of times we need to take the you know, your whole financial picture into perspective as well when we're making that decision. And that's why Google, just a basic search engine, has such a difficult time answering your Social Security questions. Google doesn't know you.
No.
A financial planner like myself, we get to know what your income needs might be. We get to know if you have a mortgage and if you need to be paying for that throughout your retirement, or we get to know how much you have saved in retirement and your IRAs and 401ks and how it's invested. And we ask you if you have longevity in your family history or if you're healthy and things like that. They're all important when it comes to making those Social Security decisions. So once again, I'd like to offer my help to our listeners. Complimentary Social Security analysis just for you. Give my office a call now. Someone from my team will take down your name and number. We'll chat further this week. 610-894-7415, Chris.
Because there are hundreds and hundreds of ways to claim your Social Security. And when you are married, you know, there's different factors to come into play. It's a bit more nuanced than what you're going to get with a Google search. And it's more than you're going to get from the people at the Social Security office. They're there to help you process the paperwork, not really give you claiming strategies or tips on that. You want to go and do that ahead of time. Jim's offering up his service. Make that call, 610-894-7415. And, he can help you solve that very puzzling question of when to claim Social Security. Again, 610-894-7415. By the time you inherit anything from your parents, you're probably going to be in your highest earning years, and that could present a tax problem. So what should people know when it comes to handling an inherited retirement account, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, look, the big question that lots and lots of people have for me these days are really in relation to what they're supposed to do when they inherit the IRA of a loved one. And one quick thing I'd like to mention real quick, is that if your spouse passes away, your husband or your wife, if they pass away while you are married, those funds do not get rolled over into what's called an inherited IRA. Mm-hmm. All right. Those funds only from your spouse, they get rolled over into your own personal IRA, or you can assume their existing IRA, which essentially means your name and your Social Security, you take over that account.
Okay.
All right. So I've had this happen recently where, in more than once where people have, their spouse passes away, they get this, the packet of paperwork that where they have to check off all the, you know, some certain boxes, and they check off that it should go into an inherited IRA from, cause they say, oh, well, I inherited it from my wife. But inherited IRAs, guys, they are only used if the money is inherited from your, you know, people like your parents, your aunts, your uncles, mm-hmm. your friends, you know, things like that. So essentially money, would get transferred into the inherited IRA if the money came from anyone else but your spouse. All right. And if that person passed away after January 1st, 2020, just more recent than that, COVID is the easy way to remember it. If they passed away, before COVID or after COVID. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the rule is, well, it's January 1st to be exact, but the rule is that you need to empty that account that you inherit within 10 years if you inherit it from anyone but your spouse. If you inherit it from your spouse, it's not 10 years. You can spread it out over your entire lifetime. And there are exceptions, by the way, to that 10-year evacuation, we'll call it. And that is like if the beneficiary is a minor child, if the beneficiary is disabled or chronically ill. And there's also exceptions if you're not more than 10 years younger than the person you inherited the money from. So there's exceptions to those rules. But look, let's say you're in your 60s, your 70s, and let's say your parents passed away, and let's say they have an IRA or a 401k, and they leave you as the beneficiary. And if you notice the IRA and the 401k, the money that you're inheriting from them, the balances, they're usually not huge amounts, right? I mean, think about it. Look at the balance of their accounts that they inherited and compare it to the balance of your 401k or your IRA or all of your retirement accounts. Yours is probably around 10 times larger than the amount that came from your parents, right? And the reason your balances, the balances are smaller with your parents compared to yours, it isn't because your parents weren't good savers. It's because the limits, I mean, they were only able to contribute a measly $1,500 into an IRA mm-hmm. when it first came out. That was the limit back. I mean, nowadays we're allowed to sock away $30,000 a year in a 401k per spouse. I mean, $30,500 to be exact, if you're over 50. I mean, like that makes a huge difference. All of that money pouring into these accounts year after year. And most people's parents who are listening now, most people's parents had pensions. And look, there's nothing to inherit from a pension. When the parents pass away, the pension ends. There's no inheritance. There's no money to pass forward with that particular pool of money, the pension. So you got to look at where our generations are nowadays. We have different dynamic going on when it comes to retirement accounts and inheritances. We're the ones that have the big IRAs and the big 401ks. And with so many people nowadays, and I've spoken with so many of our 1210 listeners, so many of you are super frugal. A lot of you are in your 60s or 70s. You've done a great job in building up these big 401k balances. Most people right now, who are retired, they're not even touching their retirement savings. A lot of them, very minimally. A lot of folks are driving the same car they've had for the past 10 years, 15 years, and they're perfectly content, and nothing wrong with that, of course. Just people aren't haphazardly spending money from their retirement savings once they're retired. A lot of folks I'm speaking with. And look, if that's the case, that means one thing and one really important thing. And that's the fact that most of the money that you've saved, it's going to be handed down to your kids mm-hmm. and the IRS. And our goal, of course, is to get the most money going to your kids, your own flesh and blood, with giving the least to the into the hands of the IRS, because we all know how wasteful the government is. And this is our hard-earned money we're talking about, Chris.
Definitely. So let's actually shift the conversation then, because let's talk about, when, the listeners are passing that money down to their children, their beneficiaries. You know, we've got these high balances, and those beneficiaries are probably going to be in high earning years of their own. And so that could have serious tax ramifications down the line. So what can people do to make sure that that money is passed on while keeping Uncle Sam, at bay as much as possible?
Yeah. I mean, this just happened recently. I mean, this happens all the time. I'm thinking about one guy recently. We'll call him Brian. And he called after hearing us on the show. And he's from Cinnaminson, New Jersey. And he was telling me, he said, "Jim, great to meet you. Been listening for a while." But he was telling me how his dad left him $550,000 in an IRA. So he inherited the IRA. But on the surface, that seems great. All right, thanks, Dad. Geez, $500,000. Wonderful. But Brian was concerned. And the problem was he is doing well on his own. He's in the 32% tax bracket himself. Mm. 32%. So the thought of losing, because remember, that money is going to have to be taxed at his rate. His father's money is going to have to be taxed at whatever income tax rate. So the thought of losing a third of his dad's money, just right down the drain to taxes. And he knows how hard his father worked to save and invest that money, just to have a third going right into the hands of the IRS. It was just making Brian sick to his stomach. And what was really bothering Brian even more when he opened up a little bit more to me, and he was telling me again how frugal his father had been, throughout his whole lifetime. His father rarely spent money. His father, you know, just was really tight with his finances, but had his finger on the pulse too. Was really, you know, monitoring things and did a great job investing and all that. But for most of his parents' retirement, he was telling me that, you know, he understood that his parents were in the 12% bracket, because all they had coming in was their Social Security, and his mother had a small pension. All right. So they had no debts. So they didn't really need a whole lot of cash flow to be comfortable each month. But what dawned on Brian is he realized that his father was making a huge blunder, we'll call it. He realized that his father could have been getting this money shifted into a Roth IRA. So he could have taken out and shifted or converted about $50,000 per year into a Roth IRA by paying only 12% tax on that money. Because at just $50,000 plus the Social Security plus the small pension, his parents together would have still been in that 12% bracket. And that could have allowed, by shifting the money to the Roth, that could have allowed Brian to inherit the money without Brian having to pay $1 of federal or state income tax on that money. But now, because they didn't pay attention to the taxes, now Brian has to pay 32% on that money because his parents didn't do an ounce of tax planning. They thought they did the investing and their job was done. I mean, a 12% tax, just to do some oversimplified math, that would be roughly $60,000 on that 550. But now Brian's inheriting the money, 32% tax, because it gets taxed at Brian's rate. That same $550,000 would be roughly $176,000 gone out the window to tax. Mm. And look, this is oversimplified, you know, these calculations, sure, but you don't need to be a mathematician to understand that giving the government 1/3 of your money is far less desirable than giving the government 12% of your money. And sometimes people wait for their accountant to give them the answers. And I remind people, look, the accountant that you just hired a couple of weeks ago to do your taxes from the H&R Block or whatever, their task is to do your tax return for the current year and keep it moving. You know, they charge you the $99 and then they go on to the next client. Meanwhile, a professional investment planner, tax planner like myself, way different. I don't do your tax return, but I map out the future for you. And I can help you in charting out ways to potentially minimize the taxes that you're going to pay throughout your whole retirement. And taking into account the taxes that your kids are going to have to pay on their retirement accounts that you have built up that you're going to pass on to them. So in the case of Brian's family, had his parents just planned out their taxes a little bit better, they could have easily saved well over, you know, $110,000 of taxes just by having a second set of eyes and another professional like myself teaching them what their choices are and what the strategies are and just really how to better structure the withdrawals of that inheritance. So look, if this story is hitting home for you, namely, if you have built up yourself maybe a few $100,000 or maybe you're into the millions at this point, you got to learn about these things because that money's got to go somewhere. And I would love to teach you some techniques when it comes to tax planning and in hopes of just setting up a plan that allows for you and your family to keep the most we can of your hard-earned savings. And I'd be more than happy to have a complimentary consultation with you either on the phone or on a Zoom video conference where you can come into my Radnor, Pennsylvania office. But it all starts with a phone call. Someone from my team will set up a time for you and I to chat first. That number, 610-894-7415. You can call right now, 610-894-7415. And this is really timely because thanks to these tax cuts that President Trump put into place for us a few years ago, taxes are still at a discount. Right now, as we speak, we only have about a year and a half left.
That's right.
And the 12% bracket that we all have, you know, especially retirees, the 12% bracket is available to us. That's going up to 15%. The number 15 is 25% larger than the number 12. So those same withdrawals, the government's going to be taking 25% more, not a 25% tax, but 25% more tax. And I know everyone here listening right now would love to give their kids 25% more of what they have in their possession. So look, if we went into the grocery store and there's a big banner. It said everything in the store marked down 25%. Everyone listening right now will be loading up shopping cart after shopping cart. And look, we need to think the same way when it comes to these tax rates, because in my opinion, just about every other economist that I've ever read, the $34 trillion of debt that we have here in America, national debt, there's no way taxes are going to go lower than where they are now. So let's put together a game plan for you. I'd be more than happy to do this complimentary for you. I want you paying the IRS the least amount of tax possible. That's my goal here. So give my office a call now. Let's set up a time to chat this week. The number is 610-894-7415, Chris.
As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, with the tax deadline just having passed and people out there, you know, figuring out, you know, random deductions, whether or not they can claim their dogs are dependent, things like that. That's well and good for the last year, but what are they doing to plan for the years ahead in retirement, whether it is in the money that they're going to be paying in future tax increases, the money that their beneficiaries may be paying, probably not as much. And so having this conversation and figuring out how to further minimize the amount that Uncle Sam gets of your hard-earned dollars, I think is pretty critical when it comes to your retirement. So take Jim up on this offer, that complimentary conversation, 610-894-7415. You said a second ago, talking about that gentleman's parents, where they thought that investing was their strategy, but there's no tax component. A lot of people don't realize that saving money is not necessarily the entirety of a retirement plan. Some think that if they've got a 401k, they do in fact have a retirement plan. And one of them was a character played by Will Ferrell in the movie The House.
Right here. It says right here in this account, we have $401,000.
You missed it.
Nope. That says you have a 401k account. If you liquidate that right now, you'll have, you know, maybe $5,000.
So what happened to the other $396,000?
Boom.
Gotcha.
What is wrong with the two of you?
So it all goes to say that, you know, having the 401k is only a part of the financial plan. What are the other parts when it comes to actually turning it into a full-blown retirement plan?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, just because we have a 401k does not mean we're all set for retirement. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the airplane. You know, you're flying the plane. You have all your precious cargo in the plane. You got to land the plane.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. A 401k is a critical piece of that puzzle, because we need to have some sort of savings mm-hmm. in order to help us fund all of our bills and expenses that will be popping up from time to time. And notice I didn't say bills that might be popping up from time. I mean, they will be popping up. We need to have a proper income plan set up. So this 401k has to be giving off income at some point. And that's not what your existing 401k does. It's often has to be repositioned, and we do that through rollovers. That's why you hear about people doing rollovers quite a bit. The 401k, its job is to grow your money through your 30s, your 40s, and your 50s. And we all know, everyone has heard this before, everyone agrees, we should not have the same exact investments in our 60s and 70s that we did back in our 30s.
Yeah.
And why is that? I mean, you know, we have, you know, a lot of people still have these higher risk investments. They think they're safer because they're in mutual funds. But mutual funds, the S&P index fund, that's the same fund that lost almost 40% back in 08. So if, you know, why? So let's focus on the why. So why shouldn't we have riskier stock based investments in our 60s and 70s? Because, if the stock market does end up going down for a couple of years, doesn't it always just come right back up? I mean, why should we be even concerned with that? And I know that there's a lot of people listening right now that might be saying to themselves, yeah, you know, I'm not worried if the stock market goes down because, it just hops back up again. And look, there is a reason why we shouldn't have those same equity-based, all those mutual funds. You know, we'll call it like the 80-20 mix, 80% stock, 20% bond. Maybe we can have that in our 30s and 40s, but why shouldn't we have that in our 60s and 70s? And the reason is because once we're in our 60s and 70s, we're going to actually be using some of the retirement savings to help us out. We're not going to have a paycheck anymore. We need cash flow. We need income. In other words, we're going to be spending some of that money a little bit here and there, maybe month by month. And if the market is going down and our investment balances are going down because the market's depreciating, and on top of that, if we're spending money and drawing money out and selling off shares, well, it's like a double negative on your account balance. And then when the market finally does start to come back and regrow again, a lot of people scratch their head when they look at their statement and they say, hey, how come the market's all the way back? How come my balance isn't all the way back up to where it was. And the reason is because people were selling off, larger portions of their shares, of their investments during the market downturns because the shares weren't worth as much. So, if a stock goes down half the price, you have to sell twice as many shares. Because that's the way the math works. But because look, if we take a peek back at the stock market over the past 15 years, it has gone up almost every year for the past 15 years. I mean, it looks like a rocket ship to the moon. And we can't be assuming, if you look back in history, we can't be assuming that it's going to have that same exact trajectory for the next 15. If it happens, great. But, look at the year 2000 through 2012. That's a long period of time. The market gained virtually nothing at all for that entire 12-year period of time with all the crashes that took place. So what we need to do is to be focusing really on how to protect a portion of our savings at this point. We need to be focusing on how our investments can generate monthly income so we can pay these bills that we're going to have throughout retirement. We're not going to have a paycheck to pay them. We also need to be focusing on really picking the best strategy for our Social Security, not only between ourselves and but also for ourselves and our spouse. And we need to be focusing on how to get the best possible health care for ourselves. And that includes those supplemental plans for filling in the gaps for the expenses that Medicare doesn't cover. And we need to be focused like a laser on taxes. It's something everyone listening right now, we all have in common, taxes. All of that money in our retirement account sitting in that statement that you're looking at, or if you look online at on your phone or the app or whatever it is, all of that money, the pre-tax money, it eventually has to come back out and it all has to be taxed at some point. And it's going to be either taxed at your own income tax rate or your kids' income tax rate. And they might be in their peak earning years, like we were talking about a couple of minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks listening right now have been successful throughout your lifetime. I've met a lot of you. And a lot of you have kids that are more successful than you. And that couldn't have been done without all the good job that you did in bringing them up and helping them out with their schooling and all their college expenses and all. So big pat on the back for all the solid parents out there. But we need to be, planning ahead continuously to make sure the IRS gets the least and to make sure our family gets the most.
If you have questions or concerns about reaching your retirement goals, then give Retire Ready Financial Group a call, 610-894-7415, or visit online at retirereadyfg.com.
Retire Ready Wealth Management is not licensed in all 50 states. To find out if Retire Ready Wealth Management is licensed in your state, please call 610-704-2792. Retire Ready Wealth Management is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through James Cipriotti, Pennsylvania Insurance License 366900.
Investment advisory services offered through Impact Partnership Wealth, LLC, a Securities and Exchange Commission registered investment advisor firm. IPW and Retire Ready Financial Group are non-affiliated firms. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators. It does not mean the advisor has achieved a specific level of skill or ability. Investing involves risk. There's always the potential of losing money when you invest in securities. Asset allocation, diversification, and rebalancing do not ensure a profit or protect against loss in declining markets. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. IPW, its affiliates, and its investment advisor representatives do not provide legal, tax, or accounting advice. You should consult your legal and or tax professional before making any financial decisions. Please be advised that you may conduct securities transactions only by speaking directly with your investment advisor representative, either by phone or in person.